And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this hump day, Wednesday, May 21st. It's a chilly one out there. Temperatures in the mid-40s, and we've got some steady rain, especially west of the valley, stretching from about Castleton up through Cooperstown. And that's all moving east or west, northwestward, as area of low pressure down to our south, kind of rotating around that. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Welcome to what feels like more like March weather than it does third week in May, Bridget.
Okay. There was snow in south central North Dakota last
there
night.
There was.
And I didn't mean a little. Yeah. I'm talking at least an inch.
Yep.
Completely covered the ground. I can go get the pictures to show.
I saw it around Vishek. They picked up pretty close to an inch, and there were quite a few areas south of Jamestown
yep.
there. That picked up measurable snow.
Ashley did as well. Interestingly enough, though, before the snow, there was a picture from Harriet, South Dakota, where someone was digging a trench. And even with the rain that they have had, they said once you hit about 10 inches below the soil surface, you would find dry soil. So this long soaking rain is really good. Also, Sioux County, if you know where Sioux County, North Dakota is, that would be south of Mandan on the West River side. It's a narrow county. Where their Endon station is at is reporting, I think they said, 5 or 6 inches of rain.
Mm-hmm.
But farmers in their rain gauges on the opposite end of that county are showing 10. The Cannonball River is currently flowing out of its banks.
Wow. Yeah. And that's just a good case of too much of a good thing. I mean, we needed the rain. But, yeah, many areas out to the west got over 6 inches of rain over the last week. Now, we picked up about 1 to 3, I should say, across much of the FM area up and down the valley. And with the heavier rain down to our south, the National Weather Service has issued a flood warning for the Red River in Cass and Clay County starting tomorrow, running through next week. The reason being is we're going to see those river levels rise from the recent rains and flood stage, I believe, is 18 feet. We're expected to rise to about 20 feet. So just minor flooding right along the river. But keep that in mind. Maybe if you have any camping plans or whatnot going into early next week or right along the river, could see some minor lowland flooding right along the Red River. So we're going to start something today. We're going to do a weekly Wednesday trivia. We're going to do weather trivia Wednesdays. And we're giving away our those wonderful rain gauges that we have. And so if you can answer our weather trivia question, you can win
two
one of those
rain gauges, Dean. This is Darter Industries mm-hmm. out of Fergus Falls. Thank you to them for helping provide those. They are such high quality that they are authorized for use, if you will, by the Weather Service. And if you already have one, we want to make sure you are sending us your rain totals, because we want to know. You can drop us pictures, ag or weather at flagfamily.com. You can call us on the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. So, weather trivia. I'm very excited for this. This is a great day to kick this off.
It is, yeah. And it has to do with rain, so kind of fitting here. So, again, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000 if you have the correct answer for today's weather trivia question. We're talking about rivers, and rivers flow in one direction all over the world. One direction, rivers flow all over the world. What direction is that? 701-293-9000 for a chance to win one of our heavy-duty rain gauges from Darter Industries. Again, rivers flow in one direction all around the world. What direction is that? All right. Hello, caller. Can I get your name, please?
Dave.
Dave, how's it going? Welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus. Do you have an answer?
South.
That is not correct. No, and a good...
Oh, get out
yeah,
of here.
Sorry. No, a good example is the Red River. Red River flows north. So thanks for calling on that. Hello, caller. And what is your name and what is your guess for today's weather trivia?
My name is John, and the direction is down.
A little more specific?
Downhill.
There you go. You got it, John. Congratulations. it was kind of a trick question. I know a lot of people were looking north, south, east, or west. So, yeah, John, congratulations. And Addison, if you want to take line two there and get John's information. John, just swing by the station to get that. We'll have it waiting down at the front desk for you. Swing by anytime between normal business hours, 9 to 5.
Sounds very good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Thanks for listening. I was going to throw a bonus question at John. Let's see if you can guess this, Bridget. There's only one. Okay. There's only one river in the world that flows backwards. There's only one river in the world that flows backwards. What river is it?
And it's like
it's in the U.S.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a necessarily small, right? It's like people. This is something people would know. It's not the Ohio. It's not the Mississippi. It's not the Rio. It's not the Colorado.
It's in the Midwest.
Isn't there one in Nebraska, the Niobrara or something like that?
Oh, Niobrara?
The Niobrara.
Niobrara. It's not the Niobrara. Speaking of that, is a beautiful part of the country up on the Niobrara. That is up in the sand hills. Oh, it's so beautiful if you've never been there. That's gorgeous.
Well, now I'm wrong, so I'm out.
Okay. So maybe we should hold that for... Nah, because now
people... You can hold that for next time.
Yeah, but now people have a chance to kind of Google search that. The Chicago River in Chicago, which flows through downtown Chicago out into Lake Michigan. So what they found out, there was pollution coming from the Mississippi, you know, the tributaries from the Mississippi flowing in through the Chicago River and into Lake Michigan. So what the city of Chicago did was they built a canal preventing... what they believed was sewage coming in from the tributaries of the Mississippi and reversed the river flow. Instead of flowing into Lake Michigan, it now flows out towards tributaries into the Mississippi. So there's your little trivia for today.
Absolutely. And remember, we're going to play Wednesday weather trivia throughout the summer months. So always tune in for the show. I don't know if we're going to guarantee which segment we'll do it in. It could happen at any point in time. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to be on your toes, right?
Yep. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for thank everybody for calling in, and congratulations to John. Did you know that, Bridget?
So the answer I wanted to give was rivers flow any way they want because it's water. And it's the same reason that we clean ditches or we have to tile, because whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. Water goes where it likes, and it ponds and pools, particularly in somewhere as flat as the Red River Valley. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, since we're talking about rainfall, water, etc., I sent you something earlier this morning that came off of AgWeb talking about what we see for weather for the rest of the summer. And there's meteorologists with a lot of drought concerns, but also they're talking about heat. And you said, well, hold on. There's maybe not quite the whole story there. So do you want to talk about that just a moment with our listeners?
Yeah. So the article you sent me has to do with what the rest of the upcoming summer looks like. And the Climate Prediction Center is predicting very dry conditions from the Pacific Northwest all the way through the northern and central plains, which would exacerbate the drought conditions that have been persistent out in the western part of the state, also down into western part of the central plains where they've been hit hard with above normal temperatures. Now, I do agree with part of that article. I do believe we're going to have at or above normal temperatures for the summer. I'm not in total agreement with drought conditions returning to parts of the western high plains into the Pacific Northwest. Now, are we going to have drier than normal conditions? And yeah, the LRC predicted the same thing in terms of we'll probably see about 70 to 80% of normal for the western Dakotas endpoints west from there. It's all going to come down to timely rains. Are these rains going to be timely? And that's the $100,000 question. The LRC is predicting a very dry monsoon season, while the Climate Prediction Center is saying it's going to be a very wet season for the monsoons down in the desert southwest. So we'll see what comes through. But overall, I do think we'll see drier than normal conditions out to our west. But in terms of a severe drought, I don't think we'll get to that point You know, we have to have these timely rains. This last system over the last 10 days, there's a good example. You know, can we get one, now obviously maybe not to the extreme of 6 to 10 inches of rain, but can we get those timely 1 to 2 inches of rain as we head throughout the rest of the spring and summer? And I do believe we're going to be able to, we're going to get that done, I do believe. And again, I don't want to downplay the dry conditions out west because they will continue. But again, it's timely rains that could really help with the drought conditions. And the last 10 days have been a good example of that.
And we're going to continue to watch throughout the summer season because we talk about drought up here pretty often. And the first guy who starts or gal who starts with me in about 2 weeks saying, well, about the drought later this summer, I'd be careful if I were you. Short women are angry, and you don't want to have to see that. So calm down about saying drought right now, okay? Nonetheless.
Well, who is this individual again?
She's over here. Okay. Speaking of short women, I'm going to bring on my counterpart in livestock, and that's Lisa Peterson. She is an NDSU extension specialist in livestock. She's fantastic. She heads up the operations for training people, especially fire departments, sheriff's departments, when there can be a livestock emergency, overturned cattle trailers, that type of thing. But I also want to talk to her about what we've done going from such dry conditions to such wet conditions and some things that could change for our livestock producers. So we're going to visit with Lisa after we come back from the American Ag Network Market Update. Focus. And if things aren't running smoothly in your operation, and it's not just the thunder and lightning outside, might have to do with your cybersecurity, let's not forget to check in with Chris Sherman over at Support Tech Support Farm. He can help you in so many ways. Just this week, he was talking to Dean and I about the fact that we just simply have to do better with so many aspects of our cybersecurity that we don't even think about. And if you're interested in what Chris has to say, check out his website. He has a free assessment tool for you to decide what works for your farm. And go back to our Monday show. Listen to that. You can follow along on either, Facebook or YouTube on our live stream, WDAY, Weather and Ag in Focus, or you can catch us right on Acres TV, an Acres TV platform up and running. Our guest today is Lisa Peterson. She is with NDSU Livestock Extension. She's a specialist with them. And Lisa, I'm sorry I made a short joke, but I knew you'd understand because you see eye to eye.
It is okay. It is okay. Good things come in small packages, right?
And you are one of the best. So my questions to start out for you. Thanks. It's been raining, and you've got some expertise in not only South Central North Dakota, but into Central South Dakota. How does it look? I saw a post from you one day saying this makes it a little tougher to get to your ranch. So just give us the background on your life right now.
Well, so I'm actually wondering if I'm going to get home this week yet. We're hoping, but we live about 12, 13 miles off a highway, kind of down a less than stellar gravel road. It's mostly a gumbo road. So we're hoping to get home. But I tell you what, we're ranchers, and we never complain about rain because the minute we do, the spigot might turn off and we might not see some rain for some while. So, you know, I hear producers that are pretty worried about the crop that they have in, and I'm not an agronomist, but I can certainly understand that. But I personally think that production-wise, we're in a far better spot today than we were 2 weeks ago today. Things were looking pretty dire. All that 100-degree weather that we had and all that wind really took any moisture that we had out of the ground. And I was talking to many, many, many producers who were talking about implementing a strategic culling plan to get rid of some cows because they were really worried about feed and water. And, you know, I have not seen a ton of runoff until now from these rains. Mm-hmm. So I think we still might have some water concerns. But I tell you what, the grass concerns are certainly lessened for a little bit. And it's just nice to see those frowns turn upside down into a smile. And I think the optimism is back in the country for a little bit.
So when I initially reached out to you, we were going to talk about the drought conditions and its effect on our producers. Well, that sort of has changed, but I still have a pile of questions for you. And in talking to one of my counterparts out in Dickinson this morning, who have had 7 inches of rainfall, 10 days ago, with the heat we had, there were pastures that were short grass. They were starting to head out like it was fall or midsummer. And now we've gotten all this rain. Can you give us an estimation what this is going to do to feed quality? Do we still need to worry about making enough hay? Do you think we could wind up having to emergency graze CRP later this year?
Oh boy. So I'm not an agronomist and I'm not a range specialist, but what I think I know is that grasses are always growing. And so if we can get ahead of some of that heading out, especially in our warm season grasses in terms of grazing, we'll be doing really well. And I know farmers and ranchers are itching to get cattle out. Just a reminder, try to keep them in until our cool season grasses, our non-native species, hit three leaves in growth and 3.5 to 4 in our native, more warm season type grasses, just so that we can optimize using them. The minute that we start using those in less leaves, we will decrease their growth the whole season. And so, you know, that would be my first thought. You know, I'm actually more worried about, I wonder if it froze and some of these, especially hay crops, are going to get frosted. I know our hay, our alfalfa, has been looking glorious at home. And, you know, in my mind, there's nothing prettier than a beautiful alfalfa crop. And so I'm a little worried that it's going to clear off here and get cold enough that we might see some frost damage, especially in some of our alfalfa. But what experience tells me is that if we can keep some moisture and maybe swath that, it'll take off and grow again. And, you know, all those things, as long as we keep the growing point growing, we will have some forage. And so I don't think we're out of drought, Bridget. You know, this is definitely a billion-dollar rain that we've had over the last week. But we were in pretty bad drought, I'm not going to lie. Do I think it's going to totally turn the tides? I'm not sure, but we're definitely on the way. Now, I have a question for you because you are a person who has some strong agronomy background. I was looking at the NDON data, and I'm seeing some soil saturations in the 50% range, you know, down a foot, 2 feet. Is that what? Is that good? Is that wet? Is that dry? Where does that lay out?
I think we'd put that in the good, fair to good category for right now, especially if we think about some of those deeper tap-rooted crops. So I'm going to think about sunflower because they're going to go further down and be able to use some of that moisture. And corn has an extensive root network, and so it's also going to be able to go down into that root structure and tap moisture when we start to see things dry out in that shallower profile, let's say 4 or 5 inches. That's where our soybeans and our dry beans would be. They're going to use that tap moisture first. And I think when I say don't talk to me about drought later this year, we're not going to fully recharge our soil unless it rains like this for several more weeks. But then we have oversaturation and we have a whole nother problem compounding yield for us and affecting quality, particularly for corn that we're going to feed back to livestock. So there's a balance in there. We're not quite there yet. And speaking of quality, that's a conversation I want to have with you too, Lisa. That was one of my initial comments to you. Let's talk about water quality, stock ponds, et cetera. And we're going to do that when we return from the news, because as we went from so dry, stock ponds drying out, calling the well drillers, to what we've got now and how that's going to look and what that quality could be, well, that's where Lisa and I are going to visit next. So we'll be back to have that conversation after this. All right, a heads up for those of you who like to watch and follow along on YouTube today. Unfortunately, YouTube said, no go. So our stream is not up on YouTube after all, but that's okay. You can still follow us on Facebook. You can find us under Weather and Ag in Focus on our page. And as always, you can go to our website. You can listen through the audio on Listen Now at WDAY 970 AM. And you can also find us on the Acres TV app. And as we have been watching the rainfall, planning for our wheat field, some of our sponsors who are a big part of that, well, one joined us yesterday, and that was Marcia Van Leer with Gowan USA. And Gowan USA gave us a strong reminder that wild oats is still out there, and it's a predominant problem, and we see more and more group 1 and 2 resistance, so consider the use of Fargo in your small grains. And Red River Retention Authority, because with all this rainfall, who's watching out for you? They are. They want to make sure to retain at least 20% of peak flood flows to protect homes, property, and more. Our guest today is Lisa Peterson. She is an NDSU Extension Livestock Specialist. Okay, Lisa, this is maybe kind of a long question. We went from these dry conditions where I saw stock ponds drying up, people are calling the well digger, and what are we going to do? So all of a sudden we've got all this rain, or maybe it wasn't a totally dried up stock pond. There was a little bit in there. It was kind of scummy. All this rain came in. Any concerns for producers about their water quality on pasture? Because as you said, many people want to get their cattle out. What do you think?
So, you know, I think we always have some water quality concerns, especially when we've been in a drought and maybe even are still in drought, coming out of drought, and we have these big runoff events. We don't really know what's running into those dams. And so I always encourage producers to take a water sample in to your county extension office. They can test it for TDS and nitrates and give you a baseline of what we're looking at. And then if they think that there's an issue, we can send it into the diagnostic lab and get a better test. And, you know, those tests are pretty affordable, and they're far cheaper than dead livestock today. You know, we're looking at cows selling for $3,500 and up, and calves worth $2,000 to $3,000. I think it's just a really, really good insurance policy. I would also like to put a pitch in, though, especially on grounds that you can get a well drilled into and put some pipeline in. Every single research study that's ever been done on looking at cattle performance and health, or livestock performance and health, of water that comes from a well versus water that comes from a surface source shows that those cattle or livestock perform in healthier out of that well water, and or rural water if you have that opportunity mm-hmm. as well. And, you know, we don't really think about the need for those things when times are good and it's wet. And then when things get dry, we're like, oh my gosh, we need to get a well in. And it's really hard to find somebody to drill when it's really dry because there's high demand. And so, those opportunities come forth, I would really encourage folks to think about putting in some well water or some rural water for their livestock. I think they will be amazed at how much the health and performance of those animals improve in just a short period of time, really.
And Lisa, what about algae? Are you worried about algae being a problem later this summer?
Oh, I think we always are worried about blue-green algae in this state, especially with some of this runoff that we've had, to be honest with you. And then if it turns around and gets pretty warm, I think we'll be looking at some blue-green algae issues. I'm not a water quality specialist by any stretch of the imagination, but just history tells us that is certainly could be an issue.
Lisa, you may not say you're an expert in all things, but you've got the producer background because you literally raise your own cattle. You've also got your extension background. You are a wealth of knowledge, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
This is probably – you're welcome. And this is probably going to be a good question for the next time our veterinarian, Dr. Emily Fox from the Ashley Vet Clinic, joins us. But yep. Have you thought about this one at all, Lisa? And that is, when you go from those dry conditions to the wet – and sometimes we have disease spores out there in the soil that just are naturally occurring.
Yep.
Could we see an higher incidence with anthrax or coccidiosis or anything like that in cattle?
Well, I was certainly thinking about anthrax in the last couple of days, especially as some of this water is starting to move and, you know, it's gotten a lot wetter. North Dakota, a large portion of North Dakota is endemic to anthrax. And I'm a weirdo because I think anthrax is actually a really, really cool disease. It is so resilient. You know, when the conditions aren't right, it goes to a spore form. It sporulates. And then when conditions are correct, it comes out of that and it becomes a bacteria and a really deadly bacteria. And so, you know, for our producers who are in areas where anthrax is endemic, I would be watching for it. It is a very cheap vaccination, highly, highly effective. Encourage our producers to visit with their veterinarian about if that's a vaccine that they should have on board in their stock. And certainly if you're starting to see some sudden deaths in livestock, talk to your veterinarian ASAP. You might save more livestock from dying if it is anthrax, and certainly more livestock in your community. But I was just thinking about anthrax this morning and thinking, you know, maybe things are kind of coming out to be right for a good anthrax year. I hope not, but it sure could be.
And Lisa, we had a question sent in to us from one of our listeners asking about the emergency livestock seminar. You manage that, and how have the classes gone, and what have you learned, and are there any changes in the program during this coming year?
So, you know, we do a program, we had historically called it BERP, the Bovine Emergency Response Program. We're now sort of calling it LERP, livestock, because we do talk about all livestock transportation from cattle to hogs to sheep and goats and horses and even some of our more non-traditional type species, bison, elk, deer, those kind of things. So we do, this is a program we offer across the U.S. We have conducted the program in over 25 states to date. A highly impactful program. It is a day-long, really intense program where we bring a team of instructors in to teach everybody who might show up to one of these. So from the emergency manager who helps plan the response before time, to the firefighters and police and EMS, to the tow truck drivers, the highway folks who might clean up the scene, to the farmers and ranchers and veterinarians who are asked to come help with the livestock, and certainly our brand inspection folks. And so if you're interested in having one of these in your community, I really encourage you to talk to your local county extension agent if you're here in North Dakota. Otherwise, Bridget has my contact information. You can get in touch with her, and we'll try to set one up. One of the exciting things that we're working on, and I think we're getting closer to having it done, is at least to have some pieces of this available in an online platform. Our team had always said we would never go to online until we could do it as well as we do in person. And I think we're about getting there. I don't know that it'll be perfect, but and the reason for that is we have so much demand for this that we almost don't have time to do it, because my whole team, including myself, have jobs to do other things too. And we like doing other things as well and being involved in extension and research at our universities. And so we just don't have time to go everywhere. We would literally do this, could do this as a full-time job if we had the time.
I tell you what, Lisa, I have read you most recently had a training session in South Dakota, and there was a sheriff's office there who had had an incident before where a bull rack, like a livestock trailer, had overturned.
Cattle truck,
it was just, it was chaos, and it was tough on people, and we were in the middle of May as Mental Health Awareness Month. We don't realize how hard it is not only on the livestock in that trailer, but the humans at the scene. And I just want to emphasize how important I think your training is to everybody in small, especially small communities, responding to accidents on the interstate system.
Thank you. And even our small roads, you know, we really jumped headfirst into this about 15 or maybe even more years ago now, after an accident, a crash in the central part of the state, where they didn't have any debriefing after it. And it was a very traumatic crash that involved the death of both drivers of the vehicles involved, and you know, the truck was on fire, and it was a tough scene, and they didn't do any debriefing with the first responders and the people who went to that, and they ended up losing a significant amount of their emergency response force, whether that was the law enforcement, the fire department, the EMS. Even some colleagues of mine who responded to it today still will not talk about that. And we have a tough time finding firefighters and law enforcement people and ambulance folks and EMTs. And so we can't afford to lose any more of those, let alone all the mental things that they take home with them. And so, you know, we have the mantra that everybody goes home safe and healthy and is safe and healthy tomorrow and next week and a month from now.
Now, yeah. And Lisa, you said you conduct these classes nationwide now. When's your next class coming up?
So we're working on getting some set up here in North Dakota, more towards the later part of the year. We have some set up to do in Iowa and some set up to do in Virginia. And so in both of those cases, we're trying to build a train-the-trainer network and so that we can expand our reach further with in-person training. And so we're working to do some here in the state, and hopefully I'll have the dates of those here pretty quick and I can share those with you.
Perfect.
I would really like it if you would share those with us, because I want to make sure to emphasize those on air to our listeners. We've got a lot of folks who are first responders, might want to attend. And by first responders, I mean fire departments, sheriff's departments, local city cops, also our ambulance services, because as you said, there can be a human injury as well as the livestock injury, veterinarians who have to respond to the emergency managers. And if it's possible, I'm nosy. I just want to attend at least part of it and see what's going on. And
we would love to have you all
worth my time.
It would be awesome.
It would be great.
I love it. You know, it is one of the most impactful things I've done in my career. And, you know, before we started this, there were no standard operating procedures or frameworks for first responders to deal with these. And, you know, when we jumped in, I'm really honest, we first started out thinking that we were just going to teach law enforcement how to euthanize animals. And then that really tragic crash in the central part of the state occurred. It totally switched our focus, and we've been very blessed to have so much support and a great team of people who are willing to put this on. And, you know, I hope nobody ever has to go to one, but if they do, I want them to be prepared and ready and well-trained.
Oh, Lisa, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Please give a big hello
thing,
to
Bridget.
Your daughter, Bryceland. Oh, sure.
Yes, I will. One more thing. As we're coming into out of this wet pattern and into some warm and this grass gets to growing, I'd really like our farmers and ranchers to remember to put out some high mag mineral for their cows. Grass tetany, I think, is probably going to raise its ugly head, potentially, if we don't have enough magnesium on board. And so just get ahead of that as we're moving cows out to pasture this grass really gets to hopefully growing with some heat and some sunshine. So just one thing I wanted to add in there. I think that's pretty timely.
I am making that a note to reiterate as well when I'm on the air, because I will make sure to highlight grass tetany. And as you said, planning ahead for those potentials, because there are a lot of things that just change that we have to pay attention to. And as you mentioned, anthrax can also be a concern. So pay attention to your herd.
Absolutely. Yeah. High mag mineral, high magnesium for those who don't know that vernacular. Sorry, sometimes our abbreviations are bad. So magnesium, high magnesium mineral.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Memorial Day, and thank you to all of those who have given so that we are free in the safest and best country in the world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. It looks like we're finally going to dry things out, at least in the central and eastern part of the state. We'll have the full forecast, and we'll touch on a couple of ag topics, all that when we come back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:55 in the afternoon. Temperatures out there, a little chilly. Mid-40s, we've got some rain on radar, some light to moderate rain, most of the moderate rain west of Fargo stretching from about Tower City up through Cooperstown and points north of there. Everything else is pretty light, and we're not expecting a whole lot in the way of additional accumulation today, maybe about a tenth to a quarter of an inch additional. But I'll tell you what, the ground is saturated, and as we said earlier, flood warnings have been issued for Cass and Clay County along the Red River as the river levels will rise over the next 5 days. And by early next week, we should have river levels just above the flood stage of 18 feet, expected to crest at about 20 feet. So just keep that in mind. Maybe if you're doing any camping along the river or just going to be down there, those river levels will be rising as we head into early next week. The good news is, after today's rain, Bridget, we do dry things out tomorrow, probably the pick day of the next four or five, although the weekend still looks it looks better than it did about 3 days ago. And tomorrow, mid-upper 60s, plenty of sunlight, winds. Friday, just a few more clouds, mid-upper 60s. And the holiday weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're looking at upper 60s and a day-to-day chance of an isolated pop-up afternoon or evening shower. So many dry hours mixed in. Not everybody's going to see the rain. It's only about a 20% coverage throughout the eastern part of the state. So I think we're going to be able to squeeze in a halfway decent Memorial Day weekend. Wind's not strong, and temperatures a little bit below normal, but not by much. Now, the western part of the state looks pretty wet Friday and Saturday. So if you're going out west, that looks a little wetter, but as we head into Sunday, Monday, things dry out even out west. So pretty good news all around. And next week, we do warm up. I see a lot more 70s in the forecast. That should help soil temperatures. That's not, is that my phone or is that your, that's your phone. we'll be warming up. That will help soil temperatures next week, especially for corn. We need those. So what are soil temperatures at currently across our area, Bridget? Have you checked? I haven't had a chance to check on Endon on that.
You know, just yesterday when we had the professional ag ladies on air, they were looking at Endon and there was some discussion there about 46 to 49 degrees soil temps.
Ooh. Okay, we need that up a little bit more, that's for sure. Yeah, because we're looking at, we want to get that up into the 50s here coming up soon.
We'd love some sunshine. That would make all the difference on these black soils right now.
Right, and like I said, tomorrow I see nothing but sunshine, and we'll see some sunshine over the weekend as well, but just not full sunshine. But it will help, and especially next week's warmer weather with sunshine, that will start to help things out quite a bit. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.